Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We come to H time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Monday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. Hope you had a great weekend. We are with you until 10 a.m. today. I am Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. You know, Seth, it's funny.
What are you going to tell me?
Well,
What are you going to tell me about this Astros team?
Well, you know what? Well, it's draft week, first of all. Like, that's good.
So you're going to draft baseball players this week? in the first round?
I feel like every athlete that pops up in anything right now, I'm like, can he play first base? Can he play? It could be a basketball player. Like, some NBA player did something this week, and I'm like, oh, can he play first base? Can anybody play
just
first
have,
base?
They should have, when people come into the, when they're walking into Minute Maid Park, they should just see if they can do a split. And if you can do a split, then you can go play first base for the Astros.
Yeah. Whatever, man.
Also, are you scared of shadows? Yeah. If you're scared of shadows, then you belong on the Astros now. But we'd prefer somebody who's not scared of shadows. Dude. Since apparently playing in the mid-afternoon is all it takes to just turn the Astros into an even worse bunch of fielders. Yeah. Even as they are middling at best in fielding this year, let's make them even worse because they're scared of shadows.
Yeah, it was a bad weekend, man. It was, I had a nice weekend. Like, personally, it was a nice weekend. I didn't do very much. It was great. But as far as being an Astros fan, it was more of the same. This is officially a really bad baseball team. It was good for 17 innings. Like, Verlander on Friday, oh, that was pretty sweet. I felt like, all right, this is it, man. This is the shot in the arm they needed. Justin Verlander, six solid innings. You know, like a, I would say, like, a, on, by Verlander standards, like a solid B-plus, A-minus outing, right? Like,
right.
Six,
yeah,
innings, efficient, no walks. It was great.
He had to be extremely efficient because he was on a pitch count. They wanted to get him out of there with an 85 or fewer pitches. And, that was about... That was about his, what you would reasonably hope for in his first game back. That was really good. Unfortunately, he was the 23rd or the 24th pitcher to
23rd,
pitch this year.
Yeah,
he was the 23rd. That's right. 23andMe.
Yeah, don't worry.
Verlandy.
They'll get to 24 soon enough, I'm sure.
Well, Spencer Arrighetti's coming back
time. I got that. Yeah, no, but yeah. Hey, don't worry. It's April 22nd. They've used 23 pitchers. It's crazy. So it was good. For 17 innings, it was good. Hell, they were winning on Saturday going into the ninth inning, and then can't use Josh Hader because he needed, 25, 30 pitches to close out the game on Friday. So they brought in Ryan Presley, who has not outwardly complained about losing his closer's job, but has performed like somebody who's disappointed he lost his closer's job. So he had a chance to get a save on Saturday, and to your point, he was not... Well, no, the Abreu pop-up was earlier in the game. What was it that... Oh, it was a catcher's interference from Yainer Diaz that got that inning started off. I know something got it started off that wasn't Presley's fault. The rest of it was Presley's fault.
Not the complete rest of it. There was also Altuve trying to go home when the ball was about 3 feet away from the
plate. I'm talking about the half inning that Presley was in the game.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, that inning.
Where they gave up the two runs. Yeah, so that was... Yeah, right. But then Altuve tagging up on a pop-up behind first base was intriguing on Saturday.
There's been something... This happened a couple times times in less than a week now where somebody's been thrown out at home with like the ball in mid right field, like in the little nook.
Yeah.
If your ballpark's got a nook, we'll run on you, everybody. Yeah. Just put that ball right there where it's got free access from the first baseman or right field or anybody to just make a quick little toss to home. Yeah. Just go for it.
Yep. So so the Astros, and they lose again yesterday, 6-0, which isn't even a game worth talking about. They just didn't show up yesterday. And the really bad news, now Christian Javier is on the injured list. I don't know, man. Like, it's 23 games in. It's a long season. It's 162 games, blah, 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 blah. Like, this team, they feel a combination of DGAF and cursed. Like, they are, this is a rudderless ship. And one of the big stories from Friday, Seth, was Verlander. After he pitched a nice performance on Friday, the stories were coming out about how he gave the team a talking to on Wednesday. You got to pull your head out. And I said, well, this is good that somebody is taking the reins. Anybody takes the reins of this out of control, just caravan of horrificness they've got going on right now. The Verlander talking to lasted, the effect lasted 17 innings, it looks like.
You can't talk to these kids, Sean. These kids, they're not listening. They're on their... Verlander's trying to talk to them. They're probably, texting. They're on their they're on their WhatsApp. All the things the kids do these days.
Yeah,
they're not. They were playing Candy Crush,
yeah.
Sean. Old man Verlander comes in. These guys got no time or use for him.
This is bad.
Astros right now are 14th in the league in... errors allowed or errors committed.
Committed. Okay.
They're just a sloppy mess of a baseball team.
Middle of the pack.
The excuse that I'd love to give them if there weren't so many other things going wrong is that the pitchers, as bad as they have been, they've created a boatload of soft contact, but it doesn't matter because the Astros are so hapless defensively, so out to lunch at various times. Sure, there's times where they've just been hit into gaps or what have you, but then there's other times where you can't figure out whether Dubon and Pena are going to collide into each other. Was it Jake Myers? It's so much. It's not fun to watch, man. This is not the baseball team that we've become.
Oh no, I know what you're talking. It was Chaz and Dubon. It was right around the same time that Abreu was dropping pop-ups, I think.
Yeah. That was but there was also one between the center fielder and
the shortstop
and Pena.
Yeah. So they sit at 7-16. Like there was a video that surfaced this weekend of the Chicago White Sox completely botching a very basic Little League rundown, and I said that's the only team that sits between the Astros and the bottom of the American League right now is that team, the team that can't execute a simple rundown between first and second base. It's them at the bottom and then the Astros next, at least last I checked. Maybe some other team is plummeted in between them. I have no idea.
The first half of COVID, what was our was it as haphazard a performance as this? As bad as they were in the first half?
I don't remember. I don't remember being this frustrated. Yeah, they finished 29-31, if I'm mistaken. So it was probably never really good,
Yeah.
It was but I don't remember as much like complete Bush League stuff as what I've seen so far this year. Just completely like this is just these. Forget about like, oh, they're but at least these guys are playing well, and this guy's making hard contact, and there are some guys, as you and I tried to be glass half full on Friday during a segment, like, okay, well, this guy's performing better. This is a bad baseball team. I don't care about the quality of the contact the Nationals were making yesterday to build their 5-0 lead. You got shut out. Like, this is a bad baseball team with a really horrific back end of the bullpen. As of Saturday, after Ryan Presley blew that 4-2 lead, as of Saturday, the number has increased since then because they didn't score yesterday. But as of Saturday, this is the stat that I saw, that the Astros had been outscored 35-5 from the seventh inning on this year following that game on Saturday where they blew that. 35-5. And they played three extra inning games this year and have yet to push a run across. keep in mind, they gift you a runner at second base in each of these games. Like they're so bad at doing the little things right now.
It would be easy to just, you know, brush that off as small sample size or something, except the runners in scoring position stuff for everybody except Dubon continues to be.
They're 1-8 last year in extra innings. Like the sample size over 2 years is getting to be pretty big now in extra innings.
They've got a good chunk of dudes who with OPSs over 750.
Yeah.
You know, like they've got offensively they should be better. I mean, they've just they've got this chasm of a 0-6-8 hitter, Jose Abreu, that now is just gotten so lost and bad in the field as well that it's just really, really painful to watch. I don't know if, man, like what percentage of what's the way out of this, Sean? Can you tell me what the way out is, it other than just a return to health by your pitchers, which you swapped the Javier for a Verlander this weekend, and that's about all the good news that you've got there.
Health for the pitchers. I mean that's one of them. The back end of the bullpen has to start pitching the way you sign them up to pitch.
Yeah.
If Hader and Presley and Brian Abreu are going to have an ERA combined that's double digits, then it doesn't matter what the rest of these guys, if they're going to come in close games and give up 2 to 3 runs every time. Even Hader, when he's come in lately to get saves, still gives up a run. You know, he's still not good.
Oh, it'd be awesome if he'd come in and mowed a few dudes down two days ago so they could use him yesterday.
Right.
But no, then you got to get Presley. And then the other thing, too, and I think this is where a lot of us were guilty of overlooking this, is just the simple fact that, look, Hader was brought in for a reason to become the closer. Mm-hmm. It's because Presley took a step down last year at an age when some pitchers start to take a step down or backwards. And I don't know if this is the move that pushed him over the edge or if maybe that was just the smart and the wise thing that they did. But the Hader so far has just not kept up his part of the bargain whatsoever.
No, and Presley looks lost. Almost, you made that signing and it's like you sacrificed Presley in the process. Like, yeah, we signed Hader. Now, we might lose Presley here. Boy, he might get sideways a little bit. It's like, yeah, he did, and so is Hader. Like, they both are. So, to answer your question, like, there could be a magic elixir along many different areas. To your point, it's hard for the lineup to be hitting better over the course of 23 games. I would say, the back end of the bullpen and this performance that they have offensively, Seth, needs to be more than just doing it in bunches. You know, like a lot of the reason why their stats are so good is they feast in certain games. You know, like they go out and they get 9 runs or 10 runs or 8 runs or whatever it is. They're not good this year in playing in close, I don't even say low scoring games, like playing in those, you know, 4-3, 5-4 type of games.
Call it what it is too. I mean, they're just idiots on the base paths. I mean, the small ball and everything else that goes along with it. Almost got a Yordan bunt the other day. It's all a blur right now.
Yep.
That's just, they, like you said, they look like a youth baseball team at times.
Bad.
It's really frustrating.
It's bad. All right. So that's where we are. Happy Monday, everybody. It is draft week. It is draft week. So let's circle over to that. Let's circle over to something a little bit happier. Is it official? Did CJ Stroud kill this? And we'll tell you what that is coming up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
NFL draft this Thursday. Texans, as of right now, Texans picking Friday, 42nd and 59th and 86th overall on Friday. And then they got a bunch of day three picks. We'll talk more about what the strategy might be at the top of the hour at 7 o'clock. But a good question on Twitter this morning. I was going to hit some of the QB drama going on, and we will in this segment. But I had not even thought about this. But Good Thoughts Now on Twitter hit me with a question before the show today and basically said, hey, where are the S2 scores at?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Where are the leaked S2 scores?
Yeah, no S2 scores released for any draftees this year with a like, hand on chin emoji, which I love the sassy emojis that go with it. But yeah, man, where are the S2 scores? You know where the S2 scores are? With a knife between their shoulder blades in the back of an alley somewhere. And you know who killed them? C.J. Stroud, that's who.
C.J. Stroud, yeah.
He murdered the S2.
You'll never pin him with it.
No. No, but that's
Sean Pendergast is holding the weapon.
That's who did it. I would. For C.J. Stroud, I would. Yeah.
You know, that's the exact same thing you told me. You told me after you interviewed C.J. at that charity event.
Yes.
You came back to me and you said with 100% seriousness, you looked into my eyes and said, I would cover up a murder for that dude.
I would. Of a standardized test. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, not a person.
Right, right, right. No, so he beat the hell out of the S2, and it ain't coming back no more. I think that teams do value the S2 cognition test. What they're not going to do is act like all of a sudden some company had found the be-all, end-all for quarterback evaluation.
Not anymore.
Shut it down,
because
if you don't get a good S2 score, then you just simply can't be a good NFL quarterback. Bam.
What'd you
base that on? Oh, several years of in which actually no good quarterbacks were drafted anyways.
I would be curious if the S2 people lost business over C.J. Stroud. Like if some teams looked at and said, okay, this is a big... This, now, granted, it's one big miss. We don't know what other misses there have been. This is just a really high profile, the biggest high profile one.
No, I think the sum total of it was that the teams that, I think most of the teams that use it as a tool. The same way as, like, you know, just because, okay, DK Metcalf had, like, one of the worst three cone drills of all time. And yet, he ended up being, didn't really hurt him in the NFL.
No.
It's not like teams wholesale now don't care about the three cone drill.
Right.
It's just, it's one test that adds to the picture of what you may or may not be dealing with.
Yeah. If I were the S2 people, like I would, like this year at least, I would be like, hey, whatever team leaked the score, because I guarantee they know who leaked the scores last year, because they love that the scores got leaked last year. You know, Bryce.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They loved it.
They were granting all kinds of interviews.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, and they, yeah, when they were, and once CJ turned out as really good, they granted even more interviews so they could try to clean up the mess that was left behind by his score.
They were pointing out that, like, well, we can't divulge anything,
right.
But there were a couple that we had suggested the teams ignore.
Yeah.
We told them, ignore these tests for these players.
Ignore these or retake them. Maybe you should have the guy retake the test or whatever.
Yeah.
So if I'm the S2 people, I would have been like, whichever teams were leaking them last year, I'm like, hey, don't leak them this year. It's because you know what's going to happen. Nobody's going to buy them because of C.J. Stroud. You know, nobody's going to buy the narrative because C.J. Stroud was so amazing. All they're going to do is go to us on social media and make fun of us and hit us with memes of blind mice or stupid people or things like that, you know?
That's what the blind mice has to cognition.
Yeah.
The old Gary Larson tattoo of the kid pushing on the door that says pull at the school for gifted children.
Yes.
That's the S2 cognition.
We don't need that heat this year. We need another year to let this thing kind of cool off with C.J. Stroud. Yeah,
and they tried to use this year kind of like a soft reopening at a restaurant where friends and family are in, but like, we'll keep the critics out for a little bit. Let's get the operation back in order before we open for business again.
Some Pop Warner quarterbacks from families that they knew come take the S2 test. That was it.
The owners of the S2 cognition test around about midway through last year had their binder where there was like their phase two world domination through screening and screening people.
Yeah.
They're about to get fascists on our ass.
Yes.
And they realize, like, oh, crap, wait, we need to go back to the drawing board. We haven't quite figured out how to quantify human beings yet.
Oh, my God, yeah. So, no, haven't heard anything on it yet. To answer your question, good thoughts now on Twitter. Not heard anything about the S2 test. There's still time. Draft is Thursday. Now, I guess the big drama going on in the draft this year is at number two. We all know Caleb Williams is going number one to Chicago. We'll see how that works out. I guess the drama here is now at number two, where Jaden Daniels is kind of the favorite, but there's a lot of people thinking Drake May might go there from North Carolina. But the Jaden Daniels drama, there are reports that he was not happy with Washington, or he hasn't been happy with Washington's vetting process. Seth and I talked last week about how Washington had four quarterbacks visit at the same time. You know, just some weird experiment, I guess, where they're all going to interact with each other. But Jaden Daniels' agent, Ron Butler is his name, kind of passive-aggressively tweeted about it. He emoji-tweeted about it to kind of express some displeasure over that. Here is ESPN's Jeremy Fowler with a positively Fowler-esque report on what exactly is going on with the Jaden Daniels situation.
It does feel like that there is some smoke here. That's sort of undeniable at this point. I spoke to somebody who's involved in Daniels' process who does openly wonder, is Daniels looking at his options right now? Now, he has had interest in playing for the Raiders. That is real.
Sure.
Staying on the West Coast, reuniting with Antonio Pierce from their Arizona State days. But they pick 13th. It's going to be hard to make that sort of trade happen. Intrigue in Minnesota as well. That's not to say that he doesn't have interest in playing for Washington eventually. I cannot confirm that that's any different. But as was told to me, this has not gone as smoothly as it should for a player who's a viable candidate for the number two overall pick. It should be sort of pretty clear at this point. Talking to people in Washington, they still expect that Daniels is, you know, a good candidate to be the pick here and could very well happen. But there's just a lot of smoke right now. I've reached out to his agency.
I'm told there could
be a statement at some point, but nothing yet.
He said could four times. There's a lot of smoke. Somehow this whole thing that Jaden Daniels controls his destiny, but he could wind up with the Raiders who are picking 13th.
Like, no, but also just like, okay, that this process hasn't gone as smoothly as it should for a guy who's supposed to be a second-round pick. Okay, I'm going to need more clarity on that. Sometimes these guys just get hissy that people aren't feeding them information, I think. I swear. I mean, was it... Ultimately, what was the harm in the Texans keeping everything as quiet as possible before the draft? And these guys just flat out, guys like Jeremy Fowler last night, were twisting in the wind when you realize that, okay, when their little moles can't feed them the information they can, they just start pulling stuff out their own wazoo. I have no idea. I don't trust these guys one bit when it comes to I think sometimes they think the public's expectations are more of them than they actually are. Okay, oh, you don't know. Just say you don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, it hasn't gone as smoothly as it should. What the hell does that mean?
Well,
what does that even mean?
And in the end, the report was that, boy, things are going sideways. He doesn't want to go with Washington. And then by the end, it's like he could wind up with Washington. You know, like there's no direction here on any of this. And so this is, and we don't play that audio to sit here and poke fun at Jeremy Fowler.
This
is like he's viewed as one of the, he's not Schefter or Rapoport, but he's certainly above the line of an opinion that people read and internalize and respect, and that's the information that he's getting right now. For what it's worth, Jaden Daniels' publicist says, basically tweeted that everyone's full of crap on this, and that reportedly, according to Ralph Vacchiano, who is an NFC East reporter for Fox Sports, tweeted yesterday, I don't know if Jaden Daniels wants to play for the Commanders or would prefer another team, but the flap about his agent being unhappy about the group QB visit to Washington is a bit overblown. The two sides have talked since, and they've settled any issues. So so that's where we are. But that's like, this is kind of nice as a Texan fan to be able to watch all the other teams deal with this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like it's like watching a fireworks show.
It is interesting that some of the reports, I feel like, sometimes I try to figure out some of these reports where teams start treating the organization like it's the exact same people that have always been in control or in charge. And it's weird because Washington has been almost, people are almost acting like Snyder is still the boss. And they talk about what a dysfunctional franchise it is and all these other things, which I get historically. And yet, like, what is, I don't, like, I can't figure out what I'm missing in that they haven't really had a chance to demonstrate any dysfunction yet, other than perhaps this weird little four quarterbacks all visiting at once thing.
That, I think that was, I was kind of like poking around to see what people in Washington were saying about all this. And I do think the sense I got, Seth, is that there was a frustration among Washington fans that they thought this will finally be a draft where people aren't pointing at us, you know, like a circus animal or something. And now here they are getting pointed at like they're a circus animal. Different ownership and different reasons. Obviously, the reasons they got pointed at with Snyder went far beyond football. But I think they were like, finally, we're just going to be a normal bad team, you know?
And now it just, now they're not. Now they get to, but they get a picture of what was like, look at, I mean, but honestly, look at what happened to the Texans last year. And I guess that's why I'm getting sensitive on behalf of Washington fans, just because the Texans were in that same position last year where no matter what they did or what happened or who they were looking at, everything automatically gets treated like, oh my gosh, what a huge failure. Oh, look, can you believe the Texans are doing this? Oh my gosh, the Texans aren't even going to take a quarterback? Can you believe this? Remember all the rants from people public who were ranting in advance about the Texans not taking a quarterback? They just couldn't believe how stupid the Texans were. That yet another stupid thing they're going to do, they're not taking a quarterback. That's why I don't trust any of these dudes.
Yeah.
Because I think they read way too much into any little thing, and they've got to, they see it through a filter of like, oh yeah, this organization, they're playing in the same stadium as the team that was there 10 years ago, so they must be doing everything wrong.
So, and your point is, it's spot on. If you're in your car right now going, then why did you play the audio, Sean? Why are we talking about this? As a warning label, and you should know this, Texan fans, for all the things Seth just pointed out over the last minute or so, is that, as Bill Belichick said on the Pat McAfee show last week, none of this stuff really starts to take on shreds of truth until about 12 hours before the draft, until about Thursday morning is when the truth starts to come out. We'll point out, as we did last week, that the one mock draft that had the Texans taking C.J. Stroud at 2 and trading up with the Cardinals from 12 to 3 to take Will Anderson was Daniel Jeremiah the day before the draft.
The day before the draft. Yeah. So a little bit more than 12 hours beforehand.
Yeah,
I think,
or at least give or take.
By the time he actually published everything.
We'll call it 12 to 24. Yeah.
I think you're overthinking whether people care about why we played something or not. That's the. Okay. Yeah. Did somebody complain to you about us playing that?
No. I'm just it was just a way of talking and me getting around to my point.
I Jeremy Fowler angers me ever since he did that. Remember there was a report last year where somebody texted him or emailed and said nobody knows what the Texans are doing. And Jeremy Fowler reported it as, "Yes, I received this text. Nobody knows what the Texans are doing." Yeah. Like, all right, settle down, cowboy. Yeah. All the guy was saying was like, "What the truth was? Nobody knows what the Texans were doing because they didn't."
Did you see Russell Wilson throwing a first pitch out wearing a baseball glove over the weekend?
Yeah, I did. I wondered. I'm glad you pointed out what was weird about it. I thought it was it. I was looking at it. I was like, "Why is this different?" And I thought maybe it was because he was wearing just athletic shorts.
Yeah.
Like he looked more like he was out there for batting practice or something.
Yeah.
But you pointed out that he was wearing a glove.
He was wearing a glove. And I do what I do. Russell Wilson, he's corny. So I tweeted out, like, have fun with this dork, Pittsburgh. You know, like classic Twitter stuff. Stuff that I'm sure Russ looks at and takes a nasty plunge in his pile of cash that he has and says scoreboard, which he should. So it was interesting. So I put up a poll. And I said, Russell Wilson wore a mitt while throwing out a ceremonial first pitch this weekend. Is this acceptable? And I was a little surprised at the... do you want to take a guess, Seth? Did you look at this poll? I know you like to guess these things.
I'm guessing...
The two choices are, sure, why not? Is it acceptable? Or, nope, total dork. Those are the two choices.
If it were anybody but Russell Wilson, I think you'd get 78% sure why not.
Yeah.
I think you probably got 55% sure why not.
52.3. That was a good guess by you. 52.3. It's inside the margin
finger
for error.
I've got my finger on the pulse of the people.
Yeah. So 52.3. What was interesting was, one, just like how vocal the 52.3% were about sticking up for Russ, like of all the people to stick up for.
It was like they were sticking up for the wave. They took it personal because it was something that they have either done or would think about doing.
The reason why a lot of them were sticking up for him was Well, you know, he was drafted to play baseball. He played baseball, so it would stand to reason he would wear a glove. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, that's what makes it worse. That's what those people who are trying to, well, actually, you don't know the history of Russell Wilson and him, like, going to spring training with, I can't even remember which team it was. Like, all of that. That's the cheesy part of Russell Wilson.
Or the history of first pitches where hundreds of former baseball players have walked out to the mound without a glove.
Right.
And like, I'm like, man, am I taking crazy pills here? Like, of course he'd wear a glove. He used to play baseball. Like, okay. So if you didn't used to play baseball, then you're a complete nerd if you wear the glove. But Russell Wilson, he played baseball. So it's okay that he wears a glove on a soft toss to home. Like, what do you
Just like how I wear a full football uniform on Sundays in the press box.
Yeah.
You'll be like, oh, okay, yeah. There's, or if I ever get chosen.
The coin toss. Ever got asked to do the coin toss before the game? Yeah.
I'm going to be out there in a full uniform.
Right.
Because I got drafted once. That's what the one you quote tweeted said. Well, he was drafted in the MLB. So, yeah. So was Nolan Ryan was drafted in the MLB.
Yeah.
And he whenever I've seen Nolan Ryan throw a first pitch, Hall of Famer, no less.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't wear a glove.
It was these people are like, of course he'd wear a glove. He used to play baseball. I'm like, I've never seen a former baseball player. I don't know that I've ever seen anybody wear a glove throwing out a first pitch before that I can think of. And trust me, I spent way too much time Googling it yesterday.
This is the problem, though. This is the problem. If Gronk had done it, I think the majority of people would think it was the coolest thing ever.
Maybe.
If Gronk went out there wearing it. It's mostly a Russell Wilson thing. If somebody went out there and was just having fun with it,
Jameis,
with a glove on.
If Jameis did it, Jameis, who interviewed a fish this weekend on the deck of a boat, yes. Yeah.
And Jameis was a baseball player, too.
Yep.
People would wait. You might be the one well-actually-ing people on that one. Somebody would say, like, here's stupid Jameis again. And you'd say, well, I mean, he did play baseball at Florida State.
That's
come on.
True. Yep. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Monday. Good to be with you. Reaction Monday. We're reacting to a lot of stuff. Draft this week. We're going to get to the Texans in the draft at the top of the hour. What could day two look like for the Texans? But up next, we've got headlines. Some of them bad, some of them good, but we've got them all for you coming up next.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, good to be with you on a Monday. Let's start with the Astros. It was another rough weekend. Friday was good. Justin Verlander, 6 innings, got the win. That was cool.
Yeah.
That was good. We liked that.
Saturday was a little scary.
Yeah. Saturday was good for about 8 innings, and then the 9th inning and extra innings were terrible. They lose that game. And then yesterday, and why even bother showing up yesterday? 6-0, they lose. Hunter Brown gave up 3 runs before he got an out, and then kind of settled in after that, I suppose. He wasn't even supposed to start. He was on regular rest, but it was kind of a surprise start because Christian Javier apparently slept with his head tucked in his sternum a few nights ago, and now he's on the IL with some sort of neck issue. I have no idea. So now it's a neck issue for Javier. He goes to the IL. So overall, just another weekend that is very 2024 for the Houston Astros.
Were you joking about the sleeping on something?
Yeah, I'm joking around. Okay, it's a neck issue. I mean,
that is 17% of all pitcher injuries are caused by sleeping on something wrong, so I didn't know if you're
sure. Yeah, no. Nope. Yeah, just a neck issue of some sort. Not sure how he sustained it, but bad enough to put him on the IL. The IL thing, now, Espada talked about that, Seth, and it sounded like, okay, I mean, they are 7-16, so you may have to exercise some urgency here, but Espada made it sound like, hey, you know, last year was his first year as a full-time starter, and we're going to be cautious. And they did it retroactively to April 18th, so his comeback date is a little sooner than you'd think it would be. This is more, it feels more like, a little like the Framber thing where they're just exercising extreme caution. We expect Framber is going to be back in the next few days. They got to get it in gear. I mean, this team does not have the margin for error. I mean, mathematically, they just don't. This isn't even like speculation going into the season that they're not as good as previous years. They are not nearly as good as previous years, and the record shows it. So at some point, you can't be like, oh, we're just going to put him on the IL for a couple of weeks, and we'll bring up Spencer Arrighetti, and everything will be just fine because we're the Astros.
Javier has been pitching a lot more changeups, just about like every other Astros pitcher, but he hasn't been doing it at the expense of his fastball. So he's been pitching more changeups, but he's pitching as many fastballs as he always has. So that's where my little theory that the increased changeups will reduce the number of pitcher injuries because they're not throwing as many fastballs. This still falls in line with that.
It does? Okay.
Because he's throwing as many fastballs as he ever has.
He's countered the changeups with some extreme fastballs.
Get with the program. Drop your fastball usage, damn it.
They're off today in Chicago for the next 3 days. Then Friday, it's an odd Friday off day because they're traveling to Mexico City to face the Colorado Rockies, whose record is actually worse than the Astros. We are exporting to Mexico one of our worst exports right now, Astros and Rockies baseball.
I feel like it's bogus a little bit that the Rockies get to go out and play in a high altitude environment, which is they're already accustomed to more so than everybody else.
Oh yeah.
So I feel, you know, the Astros lineup, which they've got an awesome OPS, best in the league, they say. Look at this, how good they are. It's the whole scoring runs thing that's been an issue.
Yeah.
I just hope that at the very least, you get up 2 miles above sea level, and it's just all of those awesome OPS stats. Where it was like every double will be a home run up there.
Yeah,
that's what I'm banking on.
I don't know, man. Like this season is just. It's a weird season so far, and I just feel like all these random off days now. I don't know, man. I just feel like a trip to Mexico City is not what this team needs right now.
It feels like you're a struggling sitcom. Does a to be continued episode in Hawaii.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're gonna find an idol.
This is
somewhere in the woods, and it's gonna be jinxed somehow.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Texans made a signing yesterday. They brought back Dari Ogunbowale on a 1-year deal. Running back / kicker.
Weeks will snap. Cameron Johnston will hold. Ogunbowale, the running back, for the lead. Snap is down. The kick is up. And it's good! Dari Ogunbowale for 3. And the Texans are back in front. Are you kidding?
I don't think, Seth, I don't think the Texans are going to do anything with Damian Pierce before the draft this weekend. Like move him. But I do think they're going to draft a running back at some point this weekend. And Dari Ogunbowale has been on this team the last couple of years. I know it's only a 1-year deal, and he's kind of a journeyman guy. But he is important on special teams. He is important if Kyemi Fairbairn ever pulls a hamstring mid-game ever again. I don't know. I don't want to read too much into this. Like, Damian Pierce had been the number 2 running back and probably still is in the eyes of the team. But if I'm putting a short list of things together that could happen now between now and the draft, I would say, I wonder if they're getting any calls of people trying to get Damian Pierce on the cheap, who might fit better into their system than
the
Texans system. You know,
yeah, and they also, people have asked this question a few times, whether the new kickoff rules, which are supposed to encourage more kickoff returns, successful kickoff returns, whether that might be good for Damian Pierce since he had success as a returner when they started using that way at the end of the season. Just from what I've watched and some of the successful returns, it seems like a lot of these kickoff returns that will work with this system are more along the lines of like, oh, a good zone running back would be good at this.
Mm-hmm.
More so than like the whole reason that Damian liked kickoff return from the conventional standpoint, was it was a lot more like just classic man blocking, where, okay, these two guys are going to block down here, there's going to be a hole here, and I'm going to hit it. That's what he said that he likes and excels at. So I don't know. I think that teams that just run a different that run a lot of man and gap scheme blocking compared to the Texans' preferred outside zone dominant scheme are probably maybe still interested in Damian Pierce.
No new leaks over the weekend with the uniform, other than the team, 5 o'clock Friday, tweeted out a picture close up of what looked to be the red helmet, like not with the sides, just like a like in the face of the picture with like a shush finger in front of it. And what people noticed was the mask was like a chrome red mask.
A chrome red mask?
Chrome red mask. Yeah. But you couldn't see the logo on the side of the helmet. So
I can get a little bit nervous with the Texans. I like that they're having fun and playing along a little bit with this, with all these leaks and what have you. My biggest concern headed into this season is whether a Stephon Diggs cryptic tweet will, you know, somehow disrupt team chemistry or what have you.
Yeah.
I don't need the team cryptically tweeting. I would just say, like, let's get rid of the crypticism, you know? Let's just not encourage it. Let's not abide it. Let's just be sure we squash it. There's no more cryptic tweets.
I'll be glad when Leakgate is all behind us now. You know, like, tomorrow at 10 o'clock, Leakgate will officially be over because the uniforms will be revealed on social media at that time.
I can't wait for you to start talking about how you knew all along and like, well, this is what I knew, you know?
You
got all the inside info.
I'd be obnoxious about that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't at the little event where they unveiled it to everybody, so I have not asked you once about what they look like or whether this is accurate or anything. I just want to be surprised.
Nor have I tried to, if you're somebody who's looking at my non-disclosure agreement right now I had to sign, nor have I tried to tell Seth, and he's had to stop me or anything like that, okay?
That's right. I was very good back in the day at ignoring any kind of reports about the Olympics. Like, had no idea Mark Spitz had even won a medal, Sean, till I watched it on tape
back
delay.
When it was tape delay, yeah. NBA playoffs yesterday, or over the last 2 days. I would say the things people here probably most interested in, James Harden was fantastic against Dallas yesterday.
Yay!
20 points in the first half.
That's the playoffs. This is when he shines.
The Clippers, yeah, it's up from time to time.
Yeah.
Clippers beat up on the Mavericks. They destroyed them yesterday. I think people are still interested slightly in the Sixers because Daryl Morey is there. They lose to the Knicks. Joel Embiid is running around like he's Fred Sanford out there. He is not moving well at all. Denver rolled the Lakers on Saturday night, 114 to 103. So there were 8 games yesterday. We are early now. We're just 1 game into the playoffs. NBA awards finalists, real quick. MVP finalists, the 3 finalists, Luka Doncic, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and Nikola Jokic, the reigning MVP. No nomination or no finalists for Ime Udoka for Coach of the Year, nor Amen Thompson for Rookie of the Year. Alperen Şengün, one of the 3 finalists for Most Improved Player, along with Tyrese Maxey and Kobe White. So there you go. There's your headlines for a Monday. All right, up next, the Texans don't pick till day 2. But if history tells us anything with Nick Caserio, we will get some Friday fireworks when it comes to the Texans in rounds 2 and 3. What do we expect them to do? What has history told us Nick Caserio is going to do? We'll dive into the history coming up next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.